The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to another edition of The Ride Home with John and Kathy, live from the Salem, Pittsburgh studios. And now here are your hosts, John Hall and Kathy Emmons.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for coming along for the Tuesday edition of The Ride Home. Kath is still away. She is still in Germany and will be so at least for, I think, until next Tuesday she'll join us. We hope to check in with Kath a little later on in the show, around 5:30 or so. Through the miracle of telecommunication, our phone connection somewhere where Kath is in the, I think somewhere up, we're close to the Netherlands and Germany together. It tells you what I know about the topography, the geography of Germany. So, yeah, Kath a little bit later on for today's show. Listen, at 4:15, just in a few minutes or so, it's one of our most popular segments called Ask the Pastor. Pastor Chris Marshall is with us, and he'll take your phone calls and your questions. Any question that you may have for Pastor Chris, whether it's about the faith, theology, the Bible, life, children, you name it, we'll open the phone lines, and Pastor Chris will sit in the studio with me at 800-320-8255, 800-320-8255, and Pastor Chris will have a go at it. New Life Christian Ministries, Pastor Chris Marshall from Saxonburg, Pennsylvania. Hey, you see hear the news about this, defacement of this memorial for the slain Pittsburgh police officer. You know, this happened way back. I think it's, 2009, I believe? There was this, April 4th of 2009. Paul Scullio, also Officer Stephen Mayle and Eric Kelly were killed in a shootout. Remember this? Just horrific in Stanton Heights. Some coconut guy with a grudge against his mom and just murdered these three guys from his living room as they came upon this, what they thought was a domestic abuse problem. So now Paul Scullio's family, they've got this memorial on the front porch. And if you've ever been to Bloomfield, especially, you know, the back streets of Bloomfield, the houses are really sort of, I would call them typical sort of Pittsburgh city homes. They're right on top of each other, sometimes literally 6 inches from each other, just one in a row, in a row, in a row. And Mr. and Mrs. Scullio, they had a little plaque there that was put up, a memorial for their son. And sometime between Sunday night and Monday morning, I don't know who even thinks about this stuff. How do you see a plaque honoring a dead police officer that is in the front of his parents' home and think, yeah, I'm going to mess with people. I'm going to spray paint that. I mean, what a punk. I hope they find whoever this person was and really press them hardcore charges, because it's horrific. I can't imagine what Sue and Max Scullio, what they've gone through as their son was murdered 10 years ago. And then to honor him at the front of their house, and then to see this defaced as well, it's got to break their hearts. Of course, it's all over the media today. You take a look at it in the PG or the Trib or whatnot and see. But seriously, whose heart is so dark that they would dare to do something like that? Pray for the Scullio family, for their peace. We'll take a break. Come back. Let's go to the phones. Let's fire this up and get Pastor Chris Marshall in here with Ask the Pastor. So you got a question about faith, theology, family, whatnot, 800-320-8255. We'll be back in a few minutes and get the phone lines moving up. Okay? Stick around. Be back in just a few bits.
.5 WORD.
Here's Dr. Charles Stanley.
Our true identity is that you and I are in Christ Jesus. You and I have been saved by the unmerited, undeserved favor of God the Father through His Son as He died at Calvary. That's the way we're saved.
Hear the series, Discovering Our True Identity, this week on In Touch with Dr. Charles Stanley.
Tomorrow morning at 8:30 on 101.5 WORD.
Your credit card companies love you. They love it when your cards stay maxed out. They love it when you only make minimum payments. They love it when you struggle. Why? Because they own you. And minimum payments mean maximum profits. Here's great news. National Debt Relief is now offering you free information on how to escape your credit card debt nightmare. If you owe more than $10,000 in credit card debt and are only barely making minimum payments, know this. You may not have to pay it all back. In fact, you may have the right to settle that debt for only a fraction of what you owe. National Debt Relief has helped thousands of people get rid of over $500 million of debt, and they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. Get the information you need for free right now before this offer goes away. Call National Debt Relief now and escape your credit card debt troubles. 800-314-4789. 800-314-4789. 800-314-4789.
Hi, I'm John Henney from Henney Jewelers. Since 1887, my family has helped people celebrate the most memorable moments in their lives. We are rooted in faith and commit to doing the right thing again and again. We believe in the covenant of marriage and use our To Have and To Hold program to encourage couples as they prepare to spend the rest of their lives together. Please stop into our Shadyside store to learn more or visit HenneyJewelers.com. Henney Jewelers, your jewelers for life.
This is what Flow from Progressive sounds like in one of our commercials. You may have seen one there on TV occasionally.
And speaking of motorcycle insurance rates, did you know that our basic motorcycle policy start at just $75 a year? And speaking of insurance, I just love...
And this is how that same commercial sounds on your motorcycle. Yeah, everything's better on a bike. Progressive keeps you on yours. Get a quote in as little as 3 minutes at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Annual premium for basic liability policy not available in all states.
Most clubs you join require an initiation fee or a club membership, but not the Word FM Discount Shopping Club. No, in our club you save as much as half. Half off home improvement services, web design, family entertainment, music festivals, and much more. All from the comfort of your computer or smartphone. Log on now to wordfm.com/shopping and God save the green.
Every once in a while, on a fairly regular basis, as a matter of fact, over many, many years, Chris Marshall joins us from New Life Christian Ministries in Saxonburg, Pennsylvania. It's a segment that we call Ask the Pastor. And we invite Chris to come into the studio, and he sits down so graciously, and we give out the phone number, 800-320-8255, 800-320-8255, and we ask you to call with any question that's on your mind, theologically, biblically, family, socially, you name it, marriage, whatever's on your mind, and you, for whatever reason, have not yet asked a pastor that question. Well, Pastor Chris, as he sits here, will take a whack at it. If he knows the question, he'll answer it more often than not. If he doesn't, he'll say, I don't know it, and we move forward. So, always, Chris, thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me, John. I appreciate it.
Always a pleasure. 800-320-8255. I see we've got a caller already. What do you say we go to the phones right now and speak with Haley? Hey, Haley, thanks for joining Pastor Chris and myself. You're live on the air. What's your question, please?
Yeah, first of all, God bless you, Pastor Chris, for what you do. God bless you.
Well, thank you.
My two questions is, number one, is forgiveness really free? And then the second one, how do you know if you really have forgiven someone?
Oh, those are excellent questions. And what I think is the classic answer to the question, is forgiveness really free? Our forgiveness cost Jesus his very life. So it was very costly. You know, Dietrich Bonhoeffer said many, many years ago that grace is free, but it's not cheap. And the same goes with for our forgiveness. It's free to us, but it was very costly to Jesus. And so I guess probably the way I would say it is, for instance, let's just use John and I were in the studio today. John offends me, and so he asked me to forgive him. So if that happens, then I have a choice. I have three choices. I can say yes, no, or not now. Hmm. And so if I say yes, what I'm saying is I am going to cancel the debt that John created in our relationship, and now our relationship is free to continue and move forward. How do I know if I've really forgiven? Basically, I would say this. You know the old saying, forgive and forget? I think that's just silly. We've all have forgiven things that we're never going to forget because sure. they were so hurtful. But free and choose not ever to bring it up again. You know, like, so John does this today, June, whatever, is this the 25th?
It is the 25th, yeah.
Okay, so I come back in a month and I say, John, remember when I forgave you? I never should do that. If I've really forgiven, I don't need to bring it up again. I don't leave a weight. Or the next time we have an issue, and this is really true in marriage, I remember somebody saying that their wife always gets historical when they have an argument, not hysterical, but historical. They bring up everything that ever happened. And so the point is, we know we have forgiven when we don't bring it up anymore. When we can look at the person and we're truly on the current page, not on last year, not 10 years ago, and we can move forward. Sure, the thought might come to mind, I had that offense, it happened, and I might know the exact day it happened because it was so hard and so hurtful, but I let go of it. When Jesus died on the cross, the amazing thing, there's so many amazing things about Jesus, but he, as he was having the nails driven in his hands and feet, said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. So obviously, he's asking his Father to forgive humanity for what we did to him. He obviously is forgiving it in the moment of the sin, and he would never bring that up to us again. So I does that answer your question?
Yes, it really does. Okay. Thank you so much.
Very nice. Thank you, Haley. 800-320-8255, 800-320-8255. You want to call Pastor Chris Marshall from New Life Christian Ministries in Saxonburg, Pennsylvania. Also, my email is johnhall, J-O-H-N-H-A-L-L, johnhall@wordfm.com. Before the airtime of Pastor Chris, people have already sent some emails, and on Facebook as well. Our Facebook page is lit up with a couple of questions. Here's a question that came in. Let me read this. This is Frank D. Frank from Seven Fields. Frank says, Dear John and Pastor Chris, when I was a kid, I used to believe in hell, and it always scared me to think about me spending eternity there. As I turned into my 30s and now 40s, hell has lost its grip on me. I'm not so sure it's a thing that I have to be afraid of anymore. What do you think? Is hell real, and should I be afraid?
Well, if you're going there, you should be afraid. If you're not going there, there's nothing to fear. Jesus commented on hell, and he made it sound very real. He said it's a place where the worm does not die, the fire does not go out. So it's an unpleasant place. It's intended to be an unpleasant place, and it's a very real place. Now, fearing hell or fearing the devil, fearing anything of evil, is a valid experience. Until Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior in our life. I would say, Jesus said this, I didn't say this, that we must be born again. And when we're born again, we receive eternal life. When we have that life, then we don't have to look forward to hell. We don't have to fear. Really, we don't have to fear anything. John, in his letter, 1 John, said, there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. So, I understand the concept that you're passing on of when I was a little boy, it was really scary. Now I'm 30, 40, it's not as scary. But to minimize or eliminate the reality of something just because we intellectualize it away doesn't mean it's gone.
Right.
And so I would be very cautious about saying we don't need to think about it or believe in it if it's a biblical reality. But we don't have to fear anything if Jesus Christ is truly in charge of our life.
That's good. That's a good question. Thanks, Frank. Let's go back to the phones, 800-320-8255. Pastor Chris Marshall is with us from New Life Christian Ministries in Saxonburg, Pennsylvania. Let's go to George. Hey, George, you're live on the air. What's your question, please?
Oh, thanks. Hey, Pastor Chris. Do you folks use the Nicene Creed?
Do we use the Nicene Creed at the church I serve? Is that the question you're asking?
That's not the question. Well, my question is, if you use the Nicene Creed, as we do, we Orthodox do, in it it says Jesus died under Pontius Pilate. But Pontius Pilate, of the four trials, Pontius Pilate didn't give the death sentence. I'm wondering why he is getting that bad credit of Jesus dying under Pontius Pilate. What's your thought?
Oh, okay. First of all, yeah, the Nicene Creed is a classic creed of the church. We don't say creeds typically in the church services where we are, but I affirm the Nicene Creed. But the question about Pontius Pilate, yes, he was taken to Herod. He was first tried and found guilty by the Sanhedrin, the Jewish council, but they could not give a punishment of death because they were under Roman rule. So Pilate had to give the affirmation, I guess you would say, for him to be crucified. And the truth is, what you said is very true. Pilate didn't find Jesus guilty. He found no cause for crucifying him. But because of the crowds, you know, who the scripture says were egged on by the religious leaders, they said, crucify him, crucify him. And eventually, Pilate succumbed. So I guess you could say Pilate didn't actively condemn Jesus, but he was the only one with the authority to have Jesus crucified, and he used his authority for that crucifixion to happen. So I believe that's why the Nicene Creed, you know, the Apostles' Creed says, suffered under Pontius Pilate.
Right.
So that's true. and both statements are true and valid. It's probably your point. It's a very fine point, but it's correct. Pilate didn't find Jesus guilty, yet he still condemned him.
Hey, thanks.
All right.
You're
good.
Welcome.
Thanks so much, George. 800-320-8255. Back to the phones with Caroline. Caroline, your question, please, for Pastor Chris.
Hi there. I'd like to know, where did Jesus go, or what happened to Jesus between the 3 days between his death and his resurrection?
Okay, we were just talking about creeds, and the Apostles' Creed says he descended into hell, although some churches don't use that little segment. And the only biblical reference possible, 1 Peter 3:17 or 18, I never remember which of those two verses it is, it says that Jesus preached to the spirits who were in prison. There is a lot of biblical research, study, reflection that says that during that time Jesus was preaching to the people who had died before, you know, he came to earth. So therefore, basically, he went to hell. He went to Sheol. That's what it was called in the Old Testament days. But he went to the place of the dead, and he gave the opportunity for people to receive him. Now, there's just probably as many biblical scholars who say, nah, not really. I don't know. That's one of these questions where, honestly, I think if we want to give a fair answer, we have to say we don't know 100% for sure. Jesus told the guy on the cross next to him, today you'll be with me in paradise. So, again, it's a different word than is typically used for heaven. So some biblical scholars say, well, paradise, that's where they went, but it wasn't really heaven. If I were saying what I think that the classic Apostle Creed statement is accurate, that he defeated Satan. You know, it says in Genesis chapter 3 that eventually an offspring of Adam would crush the head of the serpent. And I believe that that's what happened, that during that period of time, Jesus was dismantling hell, if you will. People can still go there, but it's our choice now. We don't have to go there because Jesus dismantled death, sin on the cross, and gave us the opportunity to receive salvation and live forever.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Caroline. Thanks for that call. 800-320-8255, 800-320-8255. It's kind of like our lightning round. Pastor Chris Marshall from New Life Christian Ministries in Saxonburg, Pennsylvania. The phone call next is Joe. Hey, Joe, you're with Pastor Chris and myself. Thanks for coming along. What's your question?
Hi, Pastor. I have a question about the Sabbath.
Uh-huh.
I know it says, keep holy the Sabbath day, and I have a gentleman that keeps arguing with me that it has to be from Friday evening to Saturday evening, and I practice mine on Sunday, and he's saying that that's wrong. And is there any biblical references either way? And is it relevant today?
That's a really good question.
Sure is, yeah.
And there's a lot of debate about that. But here's the thing that Jesus said that we know for sure. The disciples and he tended to keep doing stuff on the Sabbath. For instance, the disciples were eating grain in a grain field, picking grain. And so the Pharisees said, why are your disciples doing what's not lawful on the Sabbath? Jesus doesn't technically answer that question. He says, what about David? David went into the temple and ate food that only the priests were allowed to eat, you know. And so basically he broke the law, but it was okay. He wasn't condemned. And what Jesus says then, though, is, you know, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. And the Sabbath was made for us, not us for the Sabbath. In other words, the rigid exercise of the Sabbath as being only from sundown on Friday till sundown on Saturday was part of the Old Testament ritual. Jesus, during his own lifetime on earth, did not keep the Sabbath. He healed people on the Sabbath. And actually, if you look early in the Gospel of Mark, the reason that the Pharisees wanted to kill Jesus was for that very reason, breaking the Sabbath. So Jesus, I believe what Jesus would say is the principle of Sabbath is what we're talking about, and that we must rest and we must renew and we must reflect on God who created us. The Sabbath was established at the end of creation. It's established in the law of Moses, and Jesus affirmed the Sabbath, but not a 24-hour period. He didn't affirm that ritual that was practiced in his day because he broke it fairly regularly by healing people on the Sabbath. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Uh-huh. You're welcome.
Very good. So there's no hard and fast for the Sabbath, right? I mean,
right.
Like as a pastor, you take a Sabbath day differently than
other
people.
I take mine on Friday because I'm working Saturday and Sunday, you know. Right. So.
But you do get a Sabbath.
Yes, I do.
Very nice. Pastor Chris Marshall from New Life Christian Ministries, taking your phone calls at 800-320-8255, 800-320-8255, or you can email me, johnhall@wordfm.com. Let's go back to the phones and speak with Ty. Hey, Ty, your question, please. Welcome.
Oh, hello?
Yes, sir. Turn the radio down.
Okay. I didn't know I was on the air. I'm sorry.
That's
okay. I'm wondering if the Seventh-day Adventist, is that a cult or is that just kind of curious? Because some of the things they teach are, some of it's, you know, like okay, but some of it's like not, if you know what I mean, it's just,
right.
I don't know, it's kind of offline, I guess, in a way.
Well,
so I'm wondering if it's a cult. I'm kind of wondering about that.
Right. There is a lot of disagreement over that question, Ty. What I would say is this. Seventh-day Adventists do have some practices that for the mainstream of Christian faith is different. I don't know personally of any belief of theirs that is against what I would call the basics. You know, they believe in Jesus. Their practices, obviously, about what they eat, what, you know, how they celebrate various different kind of activities, that they only believe that Sabbath practice, worship is on Saturday. All of those things, they would say, are simply keeping with what the Bible teaches. And again, sort of relates to the last question that we just had about Sabbath. You know, is the Sabbath just Friday night to Saturday evening? And if you think that's the case, then the Seventh-day Adventists are more correct in their practice than
we are.
All of us that worship on Sunday. So I would say I have some concerns about the practices, as you do, it sounds like, Ty. I would hesitate to put them in the category of, say, Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons, who are very obviously a cult.
Okay, because I was just curious because some of this stuff they're okay on, but some of it's like way offline.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So
I agree.
I was just concerned that somebody would get into that kind of thing.
Right. It's not something that I would recommend to a friend who said, I'm looking for a church and there's a Seventh-day Adventist next door. I probably wouldn't recommend that. But again, I wouldn't go so far as I would. Without hesitation, I would say, you know, Mormonism and Jehovah's Witnesses are cults because of their view of Jesus. But I can't immediately go there with Seventh-day Adventists.
Very nice. Hey, Ty, thanks for the phone call. So there you have it. We're all over the map here, taking your phone calls at 800-320-8255. We're talking about hell, Seventh-day Adventists, Sabbath, you name it. Pastor Chris is with me until the top of the 5 o'clock hour. So your phone calls are welcome at 800-320-8255 or email johnhall@wordfm.com. Stick around. We're back in just a few.
Are you a stock or options trader looking for real trading strategies that you can use immediately? Hi, my name is Scott Bauer, CEO of Prosper Trading Academy, and I'm on a mission to become the number one options coach in America. I'm a former vice president at Goldman Sachs. I have over 25 years of options trading experience, and right now, I'm giving away my most famous options guide with over 20 unique options strategies that I use every day for free. You can't buy this guide anywhere. To claim your free options trading guide, simply call 855-892-2307 now and mention my name, Scott Bauer, and we will rush you the guide. Call 855-892-2307 and someone from my options team will help you get this guide in your inbox as quickly as possible. Call 855-892-2307 now and start learning to trade the right way. Call 855-892-2307. 2307, prosper with options.
Stocks and options trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Recent storms have done a number on Pittsburgh's homes and businesses. If you've had damage to your roof, windows, siding, or gutters and downspouts, you may be eligible to get them replaced or repaired free of charge. All you have to do is visit windowsruspittsburgh.com for a free inspection from one of their highly trained appraisers. With over 50 years in home remodeling, Windows R Us is the area's premier exterior replacement company for roofs, siding, gutters and downspouts, doors, and of course, windows. If damage isn't your issue and you just want something new, you'll love their no-pressure approach, no hidden fees, and one of the fastest turnaround times in the industry. Why pay twice as much with other companies? Visit the area's premier exterior replacement company at WindowsRUsPittsburgh.com. Mention Word FM for an additional 10% off at WindowsRUsPittsburgh.com. That's WindowsRUsPittsburgh.com.
The T.J. Martell Foundation, music's promise for a cure. To learn more, visit TJMartell.org. That's TJMartell.org.
At Extreme Car and Truck in Bridgeville, find extreme accessories for all your dirty jobs, like hauling landscape supplies. Protect your vehicle with spray-on bed liners, tonneau covers, WeatherTech floor liners, and more. Say goodbye to dirt and grime inside and out with extreme detailing. Plus, lift kits, electronics, and remote starters, always a favorite. Extreme Car and Truck in Bridgeville, for the extreme in all of us. At extremetruck.net.
Dentistry, in my opinion, shouldn't be a fear-inducing experience. And it really, I think, goes a long way for patients when I'm able to develop that one-on-one relationship with them.
Exceptional dentistry meets compassionate care at stockfamilydentistry.com.
We'll have a mainly clear sky tonight with a low 64. Then tomorrow, it's going to be warm and a little more humid, partly sunny, with some of you seeing a shower or thunderstorm in the afternoon. High will be 85. Partly cloudy, warm and humid with a low of 66 tomorrow night. Partly sunny, very warm and humid for Thursday. Thursday's high will be 87. Partly sunny with an afternoon thunderstorm possible Friday. Warm and humid with a high 85. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm Frank Strait.
Any questions?
I have a question.
I know you probably have a lot of questions.
You can ask me anything you want.
You go ahead. Ask me any question. Anything you want.
Any more questions you want to ask?
Go ahead, call them.
All right, I'm going to call them right now.
Ask them.
Okay, ask Pastor Chris Marshall at 800-320-8255, 800-320-8255. It's a fairly regular segment we do called Ask the Pastor. So if you've got a question about theology, the Bible, life, family, you name it, Pastor Chris is happy to answer that question. If he doesn't know the question's answer, he'll gladly say so as well. But more often than not, he is spot on with his answers. So join us for the conversation at 800-320-8255. Let's go back to the phones right now and speak with George. George, thanks for joining us. Your question, please.
What is one thing that you can do today to be like Jesus, or to be like Jesus for other people?
Wow, that's an awesome question, George. I mean, I can think of 100 things, but to me, the first answer that I would give to that is that you can show the tangible love of Jesus, you know, in simple actions. I mean, it could be as simple as a smile, hold a door open. It could be there for a friend who's hurting. You know, the thing that John, who is called the disciple whom Jesus loved, said about God is that he's love. And so I think the most tangible thing that we can do to show Jesus to other people is to just simply kindness, acts of love for people. And I would add, when possible, if it comes to conversation, to let people know that we're doing it because of our love for Jesus.
Wow. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for that question.
Thank you, George. 800-320-8255. How about Ray? Hey, Ray, you're up and live with us today. What's your question,
sir.
Please? Yes, sir. Thanks for calling.
How are you doing? Glad to speak to you today, sir.
Thank
Glad
you.
Glad to hear you. The question I have is the Apostles' Creed, it isn't actually based from Scripture itself, is it?
Well, that's a good question. There are all kinds of theories and legends surrounding the Apostles' Creed. You know, it's called the Apostles' Creed by some because they say that each of the tenets came from one of the 12 apostles. But I would say that if you go down through line by line through the Apostles' Creed, and I've done this, you can find biblical support for each of those aspects. But it's not take, like, you can't say this comes from John chapter whatever or Mark chapter.
Yeah, that's what I mean, because I would try to base it on whether it was from Scripture, and then I would go to the Scriptures and then try to put the Scripture words together to form the thought.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, like, for instance, if you just start with, I believe in God the Father Almighty, okay? Well, obviously, we believe in God the Father Almighty. Jesus tells us in John chapter 6 that we're supposed to call God our Heavenly Father, right? So again, you're 100% right. There, you can't just, like, after every one of them, you can't say this one came from John or from Matthew 6 verse 6 or something like that. No, you can't. But you can go back to each and every one of the aspects of it, and you can find some place in the Bible that it's based on. So, again, we're not a quote creedal church at New Life. We believe in the creeds, as I said.
Yeah.
I mean, but we don't use them on a regular basis.
Right.
We tend to start with Scripture and work from there.
So, in other words, Scripture can from Scripture it can form the thought. Similar to the creed?
Right, I would say so. It's like most of us have most churches have a statement of faith.
Sure.
And that statement of faith sums up what we believe from Scripture.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? And really, that's what the Apostles' Creed is a statement of faith. It was intended to show that a church was truly following the tenets of the apostles and of the church as a whole.
I see. Well, I'm glad you gave me that background. At least I know where the thought is structured, because I'm just simply a type of person from the Bible and of the Bible and nothing but the Bible. I'm like that, and at least I have the guarantee.
Yep, you can't go wrong with that. That's a good approach.
Very nice, Roy. Thanks enough for the phone call. Appreciate it.
And I'm glad to hear, and I appreciate these question and answers. I wish the station would have that a lot every day. That would be very good for the public.
Very good.
Thanks, Ray.
Thank you, Ray. All right. 800-320-8255. Pastor Chris just talking his way into a job, it seems. 800-320-8255. Kim, you're with us today. What's your question, please, for Pastor Chris?
Hi, Pastor Chris. It's a pleasure talking to you, and thanks for your wonderful answers. And I just had a question about tithing. What if you just have, like, so many expenses, like house expense, like a roof and leaky things and cars, and you don't have enough money to tithe? What do you do?
That's a really good question, Kim. And, you know, actually, I was listening to Word FM on the way down here, and Pastor Paul Shepherd had a very good message on that.
That's why I was calling.
Yeah. And, you know, what Pastor Paul said is very – I appreciate how he said it and what he said. He said tithing is found from beginning to end in the Scripture. It's not just the law. Before the law, Abraham tithed, Jacob tithed. You know, tithing is a principle and a part of life for followers of Jesus. And so what I would say, he said this, put God first, put your family next, and then as God enables you, to be generous in other areas. And that's a very good way to put it, because Jesus said the most important command is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. As a pastor for 35 years now, actually, I just realized I just had an anniversary yesterday.
Very nice.
35 years. Okay. But anyway, when we first started out, we did not have much money, and it did seem that, like, if an issue came up, it was going to make it really hard to do something.
Sure.
But we always gave God his part first, and somehow it always worked out. And I, you know, the only principle in Scripture where God tells us to test him, in Malachi, he says, you know, put me to the test, and it comes to the tithe. And I, it's not one of those things like, I'm not promising you today that if you have only $100 and you give 10 to God, you're going to get $100 back, you know, and all
There's
that.
No prosperity.
No, but what I am saying is the principle is there because it is God's purpose and will for us to recognize his ownership of everything in our lives. And you know, I've always looked at it that, wow, he asked for 10%. I get to use 90%, you know, in a way that also will glorify him. But you do have to meet your obligations. And there are times in life where you go through stretches where it seems like everything breaks, everything, you know, and it doesn't seem like there's going to be enough. In those times, it's an opportunity for our faith to build and grow. That's been my experience. The times where it seemed like I better not write out the tithe check were the times when I definitely did, because I believed that God is faithful. Anyway, that's my response to that. It's, and I'm not trying to be simplistic, and I'm not trying to, you know, just be a Pollyanna, rose-colored glasses here. I've been to the place where, you know, we really struggled financially from an American standpoint. I've been in countries where, you know, even in those days, I was very well off. But if we continue to trust God, in fact, Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything you need will be added to you. That principle is one of the very first principles that I live by. And last thing, principle and promise. There are certain things in the Bible that are principles. Tithing is a principle, but Matthew 6:33, I don't know why I want to go to John today. Where seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that's a promise. If we seek God first and his righteousness, he promises that he will supply what we need. So, and we can discuss what's a need and what's a desire and a wish and all that kind of stuff. But the bottom line is, I know that you probably asked the question because you want to be faithful. Sometimes you just need to just have a little bit more faith and say, I'm going to do it. Even though it doesn't make sense. In a worldly standpoint, it really doesn't make sense. No. But in kingdom way, it does.
Okay, that's a great answer. I appreciate that, Pastor Chris.
Thank you.
Thanks for the phone call. We'll take a quick break, step away for a few minutes. Pastor Chris Marshall is with us. Your phone calls are welcome. Questions, you'll take a whack at whether it's religion, theology, the Bible, family, 800-320-8255. Stay with us.
101.5 WORD.
Living out the gospel, according to Pastor Scott Sauls, involves caring for those in your life who are hurting or who need help.
If God has done for us what we believe that he has done, for us to say, well, we don't have any responsibility toward people who are hurting and struggling, that's a disconnect.
Having an irresistible faith. Next time on Family Life Today.
Tomorrow morning at 9 on 101.5 Word FM WORD.
So how was your breakfast this morning? Was it magnificent or just meh? You could have enjoyed a little morning comfort at the Bistro To Go Cafe, like their simply delicious signature sugar pecan French toast, a savory Tuscan or farmer-style breakfast bowl, or a daily chef-crafted special. Bistro To Go Cafe will always get your morning off to a delicious and healthy start. Have a great day with Bistro To Go on the north side. See what's cooking at bistro-togo.com.
Stuck in an expensive timeshare contract and feel like there's no way out? I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO of Wesley Financial Group. I've helped thousands of people get rid of their timeshares.
I didn't realize what I was getting into. The whole thing was just a scam. I finally found information on Chuck, and he agreed to meet us. It was just a wonderful experience because he knows that business inside out, and he actually wanted to solve our problem.
I fought the largest timeshare company in federal court, and yes, I won. Whether you owe $10,000 to $250,000 on your timeshare, we can help cancel your mortgage. When you're approved as a client, we'll get you out of your timeshare, eliminate your payments, and get them off of your back permanently. And we proudly hold an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Call Wesley Financial Group now for your free consultation at 1-800-462-3333. That's 1-800-462-3333. 800-462-3333.
It's Trinity Jewelers Half Off Half the Store Sale. Trinity invites you to bring your better half July 9th through 13th and get half off half the store. We don't know which half yet, but 50% of all their jewelry will be going for 50% off. No, Trinity is not going out of business. They just lost their minds, and the savings will be ridiculous. Trinity Jewelers Half Off Half the Store Sale at Trinity Jewelers Mount Nebo Road, celebrating life's closest relationships for over 20 years at TrinityJewelers.com. Train up children in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. Visit PittsburghChristianSchools.net to discover godly teachers and great classmates near you. That's PittsburghChristianSchools.net. PittsburghChristianSchools.net.
Any questions?
I have a question.
I know you probably have a lot of questions.
You can ask me anything you want.
Go ahead. Ask me any question. Anything you want.
Any more questions you want to ask?
Go ahead. Call them.
All right. I'm going to call them right now.
Ask them.
Pastor Chris Marshall, he is answering those questions today. Your phone calls are welcome at 800-320-8255, 800-320-8255. Also, John Hall at wordfm.com and on Facebook as well, and by text apparently too. So we're backing up here, but I've got an email question. This just came in maybe 15 minutes or so ago. Dear John, happy Pride Month. Haha, just kidding. So sometimes I listen to you and Kathy, and as a gay man here in the city, I'm hungry for more gay Christian talk. So tell me, Pastor Chris, is God anti-gay? Herb.
That's a question that is so relevant and so often asked in this day and age. I would quickly answer, God is not anti any person. If he were, then we would all be in big trouble because we're all sinners, you know, before God, all of us are. The one thing that obviously has divided people in our culture and churches, really, is the question of whether homosexual practice is a sin or if it isn't a sin. Is it something to be celebrated or something that we need to acknowledge along with all of the other sins that cause us to be fallen creatures and needs to be repented of in our lives? Which of the two is it? Now, I come down on the side of, you know, what the Bible teaches clearly, and it's really interesting you asked this question today because I spent 6 hours last night researching what the Bible really says about, whether homosexual practice is what was intended in 1 Corinthians 6:9, in 1 Timothy 1:10, in Leviticus 18:22, and in Leviticus 20:13. Or was it actually, pederasty, boy molesting? Was that what it was originally intended to say? And after doing the research, it just affirmed what I have trusted to be true from the tradition of church down through the ages, and that is the original Hebrew word definitely says if a man lies with a man as a woman, it's an abomination to God. And one of the verses says, and they shall both be stoned. So obviously to death. So there is in the law of Moses a very stringent rejection of homosexual practice. But there are 613 laws in the law of Moses, and they condemn a lot of practices. And some would say, well, yeah, and they condemn the practice of mixing two different types of thread in a coat or in a tunic, you know. So we don't go along with that. So why don't we just abandon all of that, you know? So let's go to Jesus. What did Jesus say about homosexuality? And everybody goes, well, he didn't say anything about homosexuality. Well, in Mark chapter 10, when he was asked a question about a seemingly unrelated topic, divorce, you know, what do you say? You know, and Jesus' answer is, well, what does the law say? And they said, well, the law permitted it. And Jesus said, it was because of your hardness of heart, but that's not the way it was from the beginning. In the beginning, you know, God said, a man will leave his father and mother, cling to the wife, and the two will become one flesh. And then he says, therefore, what God has joined, let no one put asunder. So Jesus affirms the Genesis 1 and 2 idea of marriage between a man and a woman. So therefore, if you look in Scripture from start to finish, and this is a very personal issue for me, because I have close family members who are currently practicing, you know, a homosexual lifestyle. So if I come across anyway, I know one way I'm not trying to come across is as judgmental, because I'm not judging anybody for what they do. But the Scripture does speak clearly to this issue. And, you know, the idea of, you know, like Forge Online, for example, is a gay Christian website. To me, that's a very challenging couple of words to put together, because it is saying that we are going to affirm something that the Bible teaches we can't affirm. So in the same way, if I were to say some other sin was not a sin, and I've had a reason why I've used this example facetiously, but I think you can see where I'm going. If I had two children in college, which I did at one time, and couldn't pay for them, and I found a way to pay for them to go to college, it was simply to rob a bank. And the money's all insured, so nobody gets hurt. You know, nobody's really, other than, you know, the insurance company, nobody's out anything, and I'm only going to do it once or twice, you know. And so basically, if I just do this, you know, it's a way to solve my problem or helping my family. How could you be against that?
Right.
Well, the answer is because it says in the Bible, you shall not steal. And so I have to be against what God is against. God is against sin. He's not against people. If he were against people, Jesus wouldn't have died on the cross to cancel out our sin. But we do have to recognize where the line between what God affirms and what God can't affirm is. And we have to live within that. And when we don't, that there's a biblical call to repent or to turn away from that and turn back to God. So that's an ongoing discussion I have with folks very close to me and my family. And they know that I love them with all my heart. I would do anything for them. But what I can't do for them is change what the clear word of God is. And so in the same way, I appreciate your question. I appreciate your desire. But the question that I always keep coming back to is, how can I affirm something that the Word of God says I can't affirm? And so the answer is, I cannot.
Yes.
Whether it's somebody in my family, somebody at work, somebody in my church, am I going to accept you and welcome you to be part of my fellowship? Yes. Am I going to say that what you're doing is something that we will affirm? No, because if I did, one day I'm going to stand in front of Jesus. I believe I'm going to stand in front of Jesus, and he's going to ask me if I was faithful with teaching people about what he taught to be true. Because he says that we're supposed to teach the disciples who come to obey everything he commands. And that includes a broader spectrum than just his own personal words. It includes the truth of Scripture. So I have a passion to see everybody one day hear Jesus say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter the joy of your master's kingdom. So I can't really help you out with the resources that you're looking for.
These are very difficult times, are they not? And
yes.
We're wrestling with things that 30 years ago, 20 years ago, would think, oh, well, we're not going to go there. But unfortunately, here we are. So I'd be kind of curious to see where the road leads us in the next decade or so. So let's go from the frying pan into the fire. We've got time for maybe one more quick phone call. Let's go to Donnie. Hey, Donnie, you got a minute or so. What's your question, please?
Yeah, that was a perfect segue to 20, 30 years ago. Things were a lot different. But, Pastor, thanks for your time. You know, in our culture, it's an ever-growing topic, the legalization of marijuana. And I've seen people, you know, not necessarily believers, you know, post about the scripture that says he gave us all the plants and animals, kind of as a counterpoint.
Right.
But then, you know, there's also the scripture of maintaining a sober mind. So just wanted to kind of get some insight onto that ever-growing hot topic.
One of the things that I would say, I've spent 7 years helping people that are recovering from addiction.
Yeah.
And nearly all of them started with two particular drugs, alcohol and marijuana. Most of them didn't start with heroin. Most of them didn't start with OxyContin.
Right.
They mostly started with alcohol and marijuana. So I'm one of those ones who would say that why would we want to legalize another drug? We have a legalized drug, alcohol, that has destroyed many, many lives. And I know the Bible doesn't say you can't have a drink. In fact, Paul said to Timothy, have a little wine for your stomach. But I take the Billy Graham approach, which Billy Graham didn't drink alcohol at all because his point was he didn't want to cause a weaker brother or sister to stumble. I don't want to do that. And so my response is I agree. The best way to have a sober mind, the best way not to have a problem with drugs, and I list alcohol is a drug,
sure.
You know, is if you don't imbibe, and I even, as a person who has counseled a lot of recovering addicts, I very seldom even will take like an aspirin because I just want to help people to understand drugs. Yes, there are places for drugs, you know, heart medicine, that kind of stuff. But just to alleviate a little bit of current suffering, which is what a lot of people use those for,
yeah.
I don't know. I think that it's one of those steps that can lead us to something that we never planned for, and it's hard to come back from.
Good question. Thanks an awful lot. And so the culture is upon us as believers, and which way do we go? We'll take a quick break and come back. Pastor Chris Marshall from New Life Christian Ministries in Saxonburg, Pennsylvania, is with us for the remaining few minutes. Stay with us, please.
This is Kathy Emmons. John and I are grateful for the encouragement we have from all of our advertisers, and especially our friends at Grove City College. Thanks to everyone at Grove City for supporting The Ride Home.
Hey, it's John Hall. So a while back, the folks at MyPillow said, hey, John, can you try out a MyPillow and let us know what you think? I was skeptical. I mean, it's a pillow, but what did I have to lose, right? I'll tell you what I lost. Interrupted sleep. No more folding the pillow in half. No more flat, lifeless pillows. It changed my life. So I'm letting you know, you need MyPillow. Well, not my actual pillow, but your own MyPillow. It stays cool all night long. No more waking up at 3 a.m. to flip to the cool side of the pillow. It keeps its shape. No more reshaping your pillow in the middle of the night. It comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. Try it. Don't like it? Return it. MyPillow comes with a 10-year warranty. Do you have a pillow that comes with a 10-year warranty? You can toss a MyPillow into your washer and dryer. It's like new again. Get a two-pack of MyPillow's premiums for $69.98. That's only $34.99 per pillow, the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. This offer is only available at MyPillow.com or call 800-391-0954. Use promo code WORD.
If you have an unpaid tax debt to the IRS that you can't pay, please hear this special notice. Specially approved IRS relief programs designed to aid delinquent taxpayers are now in effect that can significantly improve your financial situation. Depending on your circumstances, you may qualify to have your tax problem resolved in your favor and may even have your back taxes reduced by thousands or eliminated entirely. A relief hotline has been established by Community Tax for you to call and see if you qualify at 800-500-5588. If you owe the IRS back taxes that you can't afford to pay, don't let the IRS trick you into thinking you have no way out. Our highly accredited tax professionals will let you know what you qualify for and how much you can save. We may be able to stop all liens, garnishments, levies, and save you thousands. Call and see if you qualify for this taxpayer relief at 800-500-5588. 800-500-5588. That's 800-500-5588. Community Tax. Who's your tax guy?
How does Eden Christian Academy prepare students for success? Through education that ignites the mind and inspires the spirit, from pre-K through 12th grade, through 47 state-certified full-time teachers, and opportunities in sports, the arts, and service to the community. With results like SAT scores 200 points over the national average, schedule a tour at any of Eden's three North Hills campuses and see what the area's largest non-denominational Christian school has to offer at EdenChristianAcademy.org.
So we enjoyed this hour with Pastor Chris Marshall. from New Life Christian Ministries in Saxonburg, Pennsylvania. Hey, Chris, we've got just a minute or so left. So talk to us about New Life Christian Ministries. In Saxonburg, there's always something going on.
Yes, and actually this week coming up is really something going on. You know, the July 4th holiday is upon us, and we're going to have our fourth annual July 3rd fireworks. We started it the first year as a 15th anniversary celebration of the church, but we found out by doing it on the 3rd, we can actually get really good fireworks because everybody wants them on the 4th. So we'll have Zambelli out there.
Nice.
For the 3rd, we'll have music and a lot of activities for the kids. The parking lot opens at 8, and we'd love to have you come out and join us. We'll have some gifts for the kids. We have popcorn and water for everybody, and really, really good fireworks. About
nice.
A 20-minute show choreographed to music.
Fabulous.
It's a good show.
Excellent.
It's the best one in Saxonburg, and I can say that because there aren't any other ones in Saxonburg. And if you want to come to worship, we're here every Saturday night at 6:30 in the evening, and every Sunday morning 8:30, 10, and 11:30. We're going through the Sermon on the Mount this summer. So.
Excellent. Hey, Chris, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for coming in from Saxonburg and sitting down here in the studio and sharing the Word of God with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate it, John.
Thank you. Pastor Chris Marshall, New Life Christian Ministries in Saxonburg, Pennsylvania. We'll take a break, come back, our 5 o'clock hour. We're going to talk about the digital age and how to protect your kids. Also, is it okay to talk Christianese? We'll have that conversation as well. And we hope to connect with Kathy Emmons, one half of this show, who currently is in Germany. She'll give us an update on what she's experiencing. Stick around for that. 5 o'clock hour, the ride home here on Word FM and WPIT Radio.
Sharing the word that changes the world. 101.5 WORD-FM, Pittsburgh, a service of Salem Media Group.
With SRN News, I'm Ron DeRockstra. President Trump hopes Iran responds positively after he imposed new sanctions against the regime following the downing of a U.S. drone.
When they're ready, they'll let us know. Very simple.
Ready to negotiate, you mean?
Ready to do whatever. Doesn't make any difference. Whatever they want to do, I'm ready.
Speaking to reporters in the Oval Office, Mr. Trump says Iran still takes his threat seriously, even after he decided against approving strikes in retaliation for Tehran's downing of the American surveillance drone over the Strait of Hormuz. Meanwhile, the discovery of dozens of children in filthy conditions at one of its stations in Texas, apparently the final straw for the head of Customs and Border Protection, John Sanders announced he is stepping down from his post. The effective date is July the 5th. And Mike Pompeo in Kabul meeting with Afghanistan officials today. This is SRN News.
The Ride Home with John and Kathy, driven by Calusi Chevrolet. Serving the Pittsburgh area for over 100 years.
The Steelers, Penguins, and Pirates are successful sports teams because they have a plan and they stick to it. Before their games even start, they know what they want to do and how they're going to do it. The same is true in retirement. Do you have a game plan, or are you just going to wing it when that day comes? I'm Ethan Lane, Associate Advisor at Accurate Solutions Group, where we strictly focus on retirement planning. We help people retire with confidence, clarity, and independence. Give our team a call now to start building your own retirement blueprint. 412-515-3555. That's 412-515-3555. Don't be unprepared. At Accurate Solutions Group, we can help build you a plan to get you to and through retirement successfully. 412-515-3555. That's 412-515-3555. Investment advisory services offered through ASG Investment Management, LLC.
Providence Presbyterian Church, Washington Alliance Church, Bethlehem Lutheran Church, St. John the Baptist Church, Impact Christian Church, The Bible Chapel. What do all these churches from various denominations have in common? Nello Construction. Design and build with one company. Nello Construction. Full service construction from the ground up. Renovation. Expansion. Nello Construction. The choice for churches. See the projects. Begin the journey at NelloConstruction.com.
Once upon a time, customers would find your business with this big, thick book full of phone numbers and competitors' phone numbers. It was a heavy, cumbersome, yellowish-looking thing.
You'd place your ad in the book and hope customers would call.
Hello?
Now, there's Salem Surround, delivering customers with targeted digital marketing. Get started with a free evaluation of your digital presence and great ideas to increase your online visibility and revenue. Learn more at SurroundPittsburgh.com. SurroundPittsburgh.com. Connecting you with new customers.
New message.
Your social security number has been suspended. If you do not contact us, your account will be deactivated.
Scammers are aggressive when they contact a potential victim. Social Security Administration employees will never threaten you for information or promise benefits in exchange for information. In those cases, the call is fraudulent and you should just hang up. Don't provide any personal or financial information to these thieves. Call the Social Security Fraud Hotline at 1-800-269-0271.
Most clubs you join require an initiation fee or a club membership, but not the Word FM Discount Shopping Club. No, in our club you save as much as half. Half off home improvement services, web design, family entertainment, music festivals, and much more. All from the comfort of your computer or smartphone. Log on now to wordfm.com/shopping and God save the green.
We'll have a mainly clear sky tonight with a low 64. Then tomorrow, it's going to be warm and a little more humid, partly sunny with some of you seeing a shower or thunderstorm in the afternoon. High will be 85. Partly cloudy, warm and humid with a low of 66 tomorrow night. Partly sunny, very warm and humid for Thursday. Thursday's high will be 87. Partly sunny with an afternoon thunderstorm possible Friday. Warm and humid with a high 85. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm Frank Strait.
Welcome to another edition of The Ride Home with John and Kathy, live from the Salem, Pittsburgh studios. And now here are your hosts, John Hall and Kathy Emmons.
Hey, thanks for coming along the Tuesday edition. Kath is still away. She's in Germany with the Pittsburgh Girls Choir, where she is acting as a mom first, and then the choir chaplain. She'll be back maybe sometime early next week, so we wish her well. But at some point during this hour, we're going to check in with Kath, who will join us somewhere in Germany. Look forward to that conversation. Hey, so the latest social media outrage. Wouldn't it be healthier? Wouldn't we not be healthier as people if we just did not delve into this? I mean, yeah, a lot of great things have happened because of social media, but there's also a lot of negativity as well, which is that sort of that machine that, you know, that outrage machine that must always be fed. So I'm reading today about Grandview Avenue. Have you seen this? That several sections of the sidewalk along Grandview Avenue are closed that overlook the city. Apparently, you know, the sidewalk up there is cantilevered, right? It's an engineering feat, quite honestly. And because of that, there is some sort of sinkage. It's sort of slipping away a little bit from the hillside. They expect it to be about $1 million to replace some of this. However, all the observation decks remain open. But people are like, how can this happen for the 4th of July? And I get it. I'm sure. Yeah. Somehow we'll survive this latest outrage and we'll carry on. I don't know. How do you? We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about this in a little bit about how you handle the internet. Are you a Facebooker? Are you on Twitter? Are you on Pinterest? Are you on Instagram? Are you blah, 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 blah? Man, oh, man. I wonder will we be doing this 10 years from now? Will this still be the same thing 20 years from now? I mean, really, before the internet, if you would have tried to imagine what this current malady, which we suffer through on a daily basis, you couldn't. You could not imagine the weirdness of it all, right? So the better futurists among us, how can you predict what 10 or 20 or 30 years down the line is going to look like as far as this stuff? But clearly something's got to change because it's a mess, isn't it? I mean, people get so upset about it. People so angry, leaving these crazy – it's so – the comment section of even basic, just regular sort of, you know, informational articles about something all of a sudden devolves quickly into people calling each other names and things like that, just attacking each other's moms and family trees. Holy heck. I just came to read the article. I'm sorry. I, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, family heritage gets thrown into the question. People, could we just all relax a little bit and just pray? Just pray before you want to post something.
Don't you talk about my mom.
Your mom's a fine woman. Love your mother. She's a fine, upstanding woman. Very, very good. No, I'm not, I would never. No, I mean, seriously. I mean, more often than not. And I think this is probably true. If I experience this, then my guess is that you experience it as well. If you go online and you read something which is contrary to your particular worldview, in this case, of course, our Christian worldview, our love of Jesus, and of course, people love to pile on believers, and you do the faith, you do your walk, you do your love of Jesus no good by responding in kind. Right? I mean, I think, how many times, Mike, do you do this? I'll read something and then I'll compose in my head, I need to say this. I think I need to stick up for this.
Yeah.
And then I'll write it. And then by the grace of God, thank you for your wisdom. By the grace of God, I choose not to send it.
Yeah.
Because of all the things I've talked about.
It stirs up so many emotions.
Oh, it's horrific. It really is.
It is. My wife posted the other day, love disagrees. And I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
Because what our culture needs more is you need to love each other, even if you disagree with each other.
Please.
Just because you don't agree with one person doesn't mean you should automatically hate them.
Who does that? Who disagrees with everybody? If you do, then, well, you're what?
Right. I mean, you and I disagree on a lot of things. But,
oh, we do.
But I still love you.
I love you, too. We get along. And
right.
We create and we build, right?
Yeah.
And we move forward to another day.
Right.
But man, oh man, Mike, I don't know. I just wonder what it's going to be like. At the end of the day, it doesn't really amount to anything, does it?
It really doesn't. It,
I mean, it's all just ether. Yeah. It's all puff. Doesn't mean anything. You're not impacting, for the most part, how you feed your family or how you love your wife or how you engage with your kids. It's just a trifle. And so we all get caught up into it. Anyway, we're going to talk about the digital domain and your kids in just a few minutes. All right, we'll take a break, I guess. You know, not to complain, but we'll take a break and come back and stick around for that. And look forward to the conversation, so stay with us. It's the Tuesday edition. Absolutely gorgeous. Looks like summer is finally here. The rain has subsided. The temperatures are warm. Let's get out there and enjoy the day. But first, stay tuned for us. Stick around.
WORD.
Next time on Adventures in Odyssey.
Hi, Mr. Walt. That was neat, Mr. Walt.
The story of the exciting life and profound faith of one of the Old Testament's most beloved characters.
Oh, we both had dreams last night.
Yes, strange dreams.
Find out what happens next time on Adventures in Odyssey.
Tonight at 8 on 101.5 Word FM, WORD.
Recent storms have done a number on Pittsburgh's homes and businesses. If you've had damage to your roof, windows, siding, or gutters and downspouts, you may be eligible to get them replaced or repaired free of charge. All you have to do is visit WindowsRUsPittsburgh.com for a free inspection from one of their highly trained appraisers. With over 50 years in home remodeling, Windows R Us is the area's premier exterior replacement company for roofs, siding, gutters and downspouts, doors, and of course, windows. If damage isn't your issue and you just want something new, you'll love their no-pressure approach, no hidden fees, and one of the fastest turnaround times in the industry. Why pay twice as much with other companies? Visit the area's premier exterior replacement company at WindowsRUsPittsburgh.com. Mention Word FM for an additional 10% off at WindowsRUsPittsburgh.com. That's WindowsRUsPittsburgh.com.
If credit card debt has you down, nonprofit Trinity Debt Management can help. Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees, and drastically reduce your interest. You'll pay thousands less than you originally owed. It's not a loan. It's a way to become debt-free and possibly improve your credit score. So call Trinity and talk to a certified counselor. They'll explain their proven program to you with no pressure, just practical solutions and hope for tomorrow. Are you ready to pay off your credit cards in less time, for less money? Then call for a free no-obligation debt analysis and become debt-free for keeps.
If your debt has you down, we should talk. Gather up your bills and call this toll-free number for a free, no-obligation debt analysis. Call 1-800-936-5496. That's 1-800-936-5496. 1-800-936-5496.
What's happened to my son? We raised him in a church and he went to youth group. He's not acting like himself, and this morning I found drugs in his room. I can't tell my pastor or my friends. They'll think I'm a bad parent. Is this my fault? I'm so ashamed and don't know where to turn.
There is hope. For over 50 years, Western Pennsylvania Adult and Teen Challenge has been helping families to find answers to their loved one's drug addiction. Call today, 724-265-4100, or visit paatc.org, bringing wholeness to the hopeless.
There was an article making the rounds last week that, and then it was debunked, that purported to show kids growing horns out of their neck because of their poor posture as they spent countless hours online with, you know, their heads bent over. We all do this. We've all seen this. Our heads are sort of down, right? I'm pushing my head down. And then over a period of time, apparently, a calcium buildup comes out of your neck and turns you into Satan. I don't know. A day later, the report was debunked, so that's good news. Diana Graber is with us. Diana is a digital literary educator and advocate. She is the founder of Cyber Civics, a popular and innovative middle school digital citizenship and literacy program. She has a new workout, a new book called Raising Humans in a Digital World. Diana, thanks for being with us. We need your wisdom today.
Thanks for having me. I was just thinking I should have called the book How to Raise Humans Without Horns in the Digital World.
I mean, so you saw that, right? I mean,
yes, I did.
Is there any truth to that at all?
Well, I tended to believe it at first only because I've read so much research about what's called tech neck. And that's kind of a curvature that's happening because we're all looking down at our phones so much, so it's causing us to have really bad posture. So, I mean, it wasn't that far-fetched to me.
Yeah, me too. So I thought, okay, yeah, sure. I mean, I drive – every day I drive down through we live by a university, and I drive down this major boulevard, and at every corner where there's every bus stop, I mean, there's 40 or 50 kids, and you see it every block. Everyone's bent over. It's just – it's a mess.
I know. Yeah, it's crazy.
It is. Okay, so Diana, so you are, you know, talking mostly to middle kids, but of course it runs across all manner of ages. Doesn't matter if you're 8 or 80. We're all in this new digital cyber world that we live in. As a parent, and I'm sure I'm not alone in this, there are many things that I regret as a father that I could have done better. One of the things is that, you know, we held out for what we thought was a while, but it wasn't long enough. So I've got two kids, 19 and 21. My kids, we held out, I think one kid was 15 or, you know, somewhere in that age, 13 to 15 years of age, we gave our kids smartphones. And I instantly regretted it because both my kids were champion readers and there was always great dinner time conversation. That went away in a heartbeat. And I am complicit in that.
Well, I wouldn't beat yourself up too much because today there's really not a lot you can do because at that age, you know, those kids are growing up with kids who all are online on cell phones and social media. And whether we like it or not, that's largely where their social life is happening. So, I mean, there's some great research that shows that kids who have zero connection with their friends via social media are as depressed as kids who have a ton of connection.
Really?
So at some point, we have to just realize this is the world that we're living in. That's why I'm such a big advocate on educating children about digital usage and having them understand how these devices have certain addictive tendencies built into them and what it's doing to their brains. That way they have the power and the knowledge to hopefully make some changes.
Oh, good. So when you talk to kids about this, and I would imagine kids who are in the throes of their digital life, do children recognize that they themselves are addicts?
You know, they do. And it's interesting because I hear that from my own students. I teach kids in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, so I'm talking like young preteens in the early teenage years. And by their own accounts, they feel addicted to their devices. And, you know, the national surveys are telling us that too. So kids realize that they can't put these things down. But what's interesting is, you know, in the classroom, I try to teach them what's happening in their brains and how they get a dopamine hit and how the manufacturers of these products do that intentionally because they want the eyeballs. And, you know, kids don't like being told what to do, either by a parent or by a company.
Right.
So, you know what I mean? So you educate them about that and how it's happening and how they're collecting their personal information and what they do with it, you know, they become a little more discerning on how they use their devices.
Okay.
So I really think the only choice we have right now is to educate our kids because it's not changing anytime soon.
No, it is what it is at this point. So, again, like everybody else, my own experience is what I have to go on. So I grew up in a large family. I'm one of seven kids. And so every night we had dinner together. It was just, you know, that's how it was. And I, as the next to the youngest of seven kids, I believe that I learned my social skill at the dinner table where I followed along the pattern of my brothers and sisters. I waited my turn and then I took a shot, you know, and that glue, that social fabric thing really helped me as a guy. And I see so many kids today who are unable to socialize, you know, look you in the eye and have a conversation about whatever. It doesn't have to be about anything, you know, just do that back and forth thing that's so valuable to what it is to be an adult. We've lost that, haven't we?
Well, you know, that's really why I wrote the book, because I find that really concerning. And I'm really worried about young kids, because we all see super young kids in front of a screen. And if you think teenagers can't put them down, the young ones really can't put them down. And those are very critical years for learning how to, you know, read facial expressions, to understand tone of voice, to understand feelings and emotions, to have empathy. And those skills, you get one shot at learning that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and you miss that shot, and who knows what kind of adults we're going to have in a generation from now.
Oh, my goodness.
So I find that really worrisome, and I think that's, you know, kind of a call for parents to take a closer look at what their kids are doing, and at the very least to delay. I mean, you were beating yourself up, but you did delay, so your kids probably have those skills built in from their younger years, so I think you did a pretty good job.
Sometimes I wonder. Okay, so that's interesting. So then I'm looking at your website, which is an excellent resource, and in that you've posted the Jimmy Kimmel Fortnite Challenge. Tell us about this, because I watched this, and it's fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, he did a great little video about parents telling their kids to walk away or to unlog or get off Fortnite, and the kids literally had meltdowns.
Oh,
I mean, it was supposed to be funny, but I found it really sad.
I did too, because kids got violent.
Yeah, they just can't do it. And there's so many reasons why. I mean, it's, you know, it's hard to walk away from a game where there's 99 other players depending on you. So you've got the social impact of just staying on. And then just, it's the engagement. It's exciting, and you don't want to walk away. So kids are toast against that.
Yeah, they are toast. Holy smokes. Okay, so then what are you doing? You know, here you are. You've dedicated now yourself to this, to talk to middle schoolers and beyond. What is it exactly that you're trying to formulate?
Well, I'm really an advocate of digital literacy being taught in the classroom. And I think that's really important because schools are spending so much time right now dealing with digital issues related to social media use or plagiarism or cyberbullying, any of that stuff. And I argue that a lot of that would go away if they spent time teaching their students how to use digital tools safely and wisely.
Hmm.
And that's a broad range of skills. You know, we're talking just simple digital citizenship all the way up to what I just spoke about, understanding how the devices work and how they collect your personal information and they keep you addicted to them. So I think that it's really important to educate this next generation so hopefully they'll grow up and they'll use digital tools differently and raise their kids to use them differently.
I see. Okay. So then by using them differently, like there's a boy in our neighborhood who has developed an app. And quite honestly, I can't tell you exactly what the app does, but I appreciate this because the kid comes to our house and instead of him, you know, playing Fortnite for 7 hours, he's online, but he's creating, which to me, there's a big gap there. There's a big
difference.
Totally.
Yes. And that's, It's funny you mention that, because in our program called Cyber Civics, the last year is called Media Literacy for Positive Participation, and that's our entire focus, is teaching kids how to use their digital tools in powerful and productive ways. And that's exciting. You know, if you engage a kid to use their tool to create, to make, to write, to make music, you know, create videos,
yeah,
that's pretty exciting. And that opens up doors to, you know, new career opportunities or learning opportunities. And that's really what we want.
Yeah. Because creation's key, right? Instead of just being that consumer. So
right.
What about this idea of, you know, because I'm sure that you as an educator, you're intersecting with other educators as well, people who are in the teaching profession or psychologists or therapists. Is there some sort of, I don't know how to phrase this, but is there sort of a thread of online psychology that is being formulated where we are right now? I mean, the futurists are looking at this, or, you know, do you know what I'm trying to get at?
I do. And, you know, what I can tell you is I went to a really wonderful conference in New York a couple months ago that was attended by like 3,000 teachers. And I can tell you they're frustrated because tools happen so fast and they really infiltrated the classroom. And it's almost like we weren't quite ready, you know. So we're all trying to take a step back and figuring out how to integrate these, you know, in a more productive, safe, and useful manner within our lifestyles. So I think we're really at a crossroads right now where we're trying to figure it all out.
Mm. Okay, so trying to figure it all out, you know, I got a new phone a year or so ago, and I was shocked because, you know, you get your updates, right? They tell you how much screen time you have. And, you know, we sort of shared that early on. My kids were like, what? So, you know, fair disclosure, and my cover was, well, you know, I'm a talk show host, and so I've got to stay informed.
Right.
And, you know, the company will gladly give me my phone and allow me to work, you know, at all hours of the day and night. And, of course, I'm an addict, and I fall into that sort of thing. And so then I've allowed my kids to do the same thing. But there's something to be said about that accountability where I see I'm on the phone 9 hours a day or whatever.
Right. And feel a little bad.
Oh, my gosh, I feel horrible. What about that? I mean, adults are one thing, but man, if you're a kid and you're on the phone, you know, it's 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever, how many hours a day, there's not a lot of positive in there.
Yeah, it's funny because that's the very first lesson we do when the kids come back from summer vacation. They do what's called an assessment of their digital diet. So they write down everything they do on a typical day, and then they figure out how much of that time was spent looking at screens. And it's usually pretty shocking to a kid. The national average is like teens spend about 9 hours a day using screens, and that's the data that I get for my own students. But I'll tell you, when the kids draw graphs and they look at their numbers and they see it visually written down, they're even shocked.
Hmm.
So, you know, like all of us, the time creeps up. We don't even realize how much time we spend using screens until we track it, look at it, and assess it.
Right. I mean, we were talking last night at dinner. So my kids are home from college, and we were having a conversation, and someone, you know, I wonder this, blah, blah, blah. I wonder about that. And in the old days, we would have, you know, mused about, you know, well, I wonder. Now, you know, my kid says, well, let me find that out. And in, you know, 3.4 seconds, we have the answer. So all that mystery is gone. I mean, okay, so look, I don't want to sound like a grumpy old man and sit here and you know, and opine about the horrible situation we're in. Clearly, there are many excellent and wonderful things about living in a digital world,
Yeah, and, you know, there's like the double-edged sword, right? I mean, how wonderful that we could pick up a device and get the answer to anything.
Yeah.
That's miraculous.
Fabulous, it is.
Fabulous. So, but the price we pay for that is that we don't sit around and think and wander and be curious. So, you know, with every tool that comes along, there's give and take. And we had to give away a little to take away the benefits, I guess.
Yeah. Okay, so then as you gather with 3,000-plus people and you're all on the same page, I mean, there's got to be something here that is good and right and true that will come out of this. And hopefully enough wisdom in people's lives and enough sort of self-control that we can, you know, you're not going to put Pandora back in her box, but we can in some way learn to fashion this for the, you know, for the common good.
Yeah, and that's really what I tried to address with my book. You know, I broke it into chapters that are super readable with tangible tips that parents can do with their kids to kind of attack each of these different challenges we have with cell phones. And so I cover things like, you know, screen time, obviously. I cover digital reputation management, which is another big area that's important to look at. Privacy is another one. So I try to break it down in, like, bite-sized pieces so that we're not overwhelmed with all the things that we should know about using devices well.
You know, sometimes, we'll be, like, you know, in bed, and my wife and I will be talking, and then, you know, there'll be the screens of our phones, you know, and my kids will come by. It's so complex. But I'm going to – the kids will walk by, you know, especially now that they're home from college, and I'll instantly feel guilty because, you know, I'm, you know, in bed talking to my wife, but we've both got our phones out. It's such a weird role reversal, you know. I kind of feel like I'm the kid now, and my, you know, my kids are busting on me. I mean,
yeah. Well, you're not alone, because that's what I hear from my students. You know, they have endless stories of, you know, my mom can't put her phone down, and my dad's always texting at dinner, and they're even doing it in the car.
The worst.
You know, they see our faults, I guess is a way to say it, and they're really emulating us because that's what they think it means to be an adult. So, you know, it's tough. I hate to say it, but we have to really be more thoughtful about how we use devices because kids are watching.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was talking to my kid about this last week. We were driving somewhere, and he said to me, he actually said to me, well, you know, Dad, you were a poor role model as far as your phone. And I was like, okay. I guess he knows to the heart of the matter.
Ouch. Yeah. Aren't we all?
Yes. Okay. So raising humans in a digital world, this is an intentional thing that you're doing here, right? Obviously, you're hopefully teaching kids a skill set that you and I may have taken for granted 10 or 20 or 30 years ago.
Yeah. We didn't even take it for granted. We didn't even get the skill set.
Yeah.
So we were the lost generation. So I really think that these things are so important and so powerful that it is just too important not to teach our kids how to use them well.
That's good. Hey, Diana, thanks enough a lot. I enjoyed the conversation.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Diana Graber, Raising Humans in a Digital World, Helping Kids Build a Healthy Relationship with Technology. Diana Graber.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that we can give our daughters everything they need to grow and learn, but not every child can focus on classes and play dates.
Nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. face hunger. That's 1 in 6. School lunch might be their only meal each day, and it's heartbreaking to imagine any child going to bed hungry. We're dreaming of a perfect day when kids can smile, play, and just be kids without worrying about where their next meal will come from. Feeding America is working to make that perfect day a reality.
Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste. That food is given to families and children in need. Being a kid should be about doing things that make an ordinary day extraordinary. Learning to play an instrument, building a sandcastle, hosting tea parties. Hunger should never be an obstacle to growing up.
You can help end childhood hunger in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
So how was your breakfast this morning? Was it magnificent or just meh? You could have enjoyed a little morning comfort at the Bistro To Go Cafe, like their simply delicious signature sugar pecan French toast, a savory Tuscan or farmer-style breakfast bowl, or a daily chef-crafted special. Bistro To Go Cafe will always get your morning off to a delicious and healthy start. Have a great day with Bistro To Go on the north side. See what's cooking at bistro-togo.com.
The following is a true story. My name is David Bryant. When I was 37, my wife and I decided to get term life insurance through SelectQuote. Just 3 years later, I was diagnosed with ALS, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease. Because of life insurance, the people I love most in this world will be protected no matter what happens to me. I know that the dreams I have for my family can still come true. Financial security, to stay in the home we became a family in, and for our children to be able to go to college. I reached out to SelectQuote because I wanted to share my story. If just one person purchases life insurance, I know I will have made a difference.
SelectQuote can find a 37-year-old male a $500,000 policy for under $1 a day.
If there are people you care about, you need life insurance. It may be the single most important financial decision of your life.
Don't put off protecting your family. Get your free quote now. Call 800-
800-671-7070. That's 800-671-7070. 800-671-7070. Or go to selectquote.com. This is a paid endorsement. Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Not available in all states.
Most clubs you join require an initiation fee or a club membership, but not the Word FM Discount Shopping Club. No, in our club you save as much as half. Half off home improvement services, web design, family entertainment, music festivals, and much more. All from the comfort of your computer or smartphone. Log on now to wordfm.com/shopping and God save the green.
We'll have a mainly clear sky tonight with a low 64. Then tomorrow, it's going to be warm and a little more humid, partly sunny, with some of you seeing a shower or thunderstorm in the afternoon. High will be 85. Partly cloudy, warm and humid with a low of 66 tomorrow night. Partly sunny, very warm and humid for Thursday. Thursday's high will be 87. Partly sunny with an afternoon thunderstorm possible Friday. Warm and humid with a high 85. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm Frank Strait.
Hey, this past week, Kath has been away. She is chaperoning the Pittsburgh Girls Choir as they are making their way through Germany. And Kath and I talked last week, and one of the things that really struck me about Kathy's travels in Germany is her description of what the church is and how the church is used in a really old society, much different than here in the United States. And, you know, just by the force of technology, Kathy's back with the show, The Ride Home with John and Kathy, live from Germany. Hey, Kath, how you doing?
Hi, you guys. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah, it's good to hear your voice. It's been a long time.
It sure has. So I'm up in Nordhorn, which is at the very northwestern part of Germany right now, only 10 kilometers from the border with the Netherlands. And this is an important place in history. It's a big trade route, John, but also this is one of the places where the Nazis invaded the Netherlands. So they went right through Nordhorn.
Wow.
And then went into the Netherlands in 1940. And along the way, they devastated the Jewish population here and the synagogue. And the people here are German, but they're so close to the Netherlands that they also have a lot of Dutch friends and family.
I see.
And so when the Nazis came through here, there was a lot of consternation, a lot of conflict, because the people here, though they were German, had a lot of allegiance to those people in the Netherlands. So it's an interesting milieu of people in history here.
Oh, I bet it is. So you've been gone now for a week or so with the Pittsburgh Girls Choir. The girls have performed about how many times? How many shows?
So five shows already in five different churches. And, you know, you mentioned churches before, and I didn't really answer your question. I think the thing that surprised me is the message that we hear as Americans is that Christianity is either dead or dying in Europe. And I can't obviously speak for all of Europe, and I can't speak for all of Germany. I can just tell you what I've seen over the last 10 days. The churches that we have been in are ancient churches. I mean, one of them I was in was built in the 1300s. And these churches still to this day in these tiny towns in Germany are still the center of town life. There's no way for me to tell what the spiritual state is of the people here, but I can tell you that the church is incredibly meaningful for them. And the church bells are the way that they assemble or the way that they get messages out. And every time the church bells ring in whatever town I'm in, it's just shocking to think of how many hundreds of years those same bells have been ringing and calling those communities to worship or calling them to some gathering or whatever it is. I mean, those churches are still incredibly important.
Oh, I love it so much. So all the time that you've traveled, was there any time were you able to worship on Sunday? Did you find yourself?
Yes.
Talk about that.
Yeah, we went to a Catholic mass on Sunday in Bacharach, and it is a church that was built in 1606.
Wow.
An absolutely spectacular Baroque gem of a church. And there, there are hundreds of these gorgeous chapels. And by chapel, they probably seat 1,000 people. But, you know, compared to the huge cathedrals of Europe, they're small. And so being in there, the whole service is in German. I speak no German, and so it's hard for me to enter in. But even though I'm not Catholic, I've been to so many masses, John. I can follow along with what they're saying.
Sure.
You kind of know where you are. It's the same liturgy. So the choir sang, warmly received, in a beautiful, beautiful space, and the church was full.
Wow! Really?
Church was full. This was not the picture that I expected of going to a worship service on a Sunday and having it be, you know, 10% filled.
Well, that's interesting. So I'm glad to hear this, because what you said is true, that we always hear about Christianity dying across Europe, but you're seeing something. Of course, you know, you can't, as you said.
Yeah, I'm seeing and I'm not seeing all gray-haired people either.
Huh.
It's not that it's everyone over 70. I think certainly a lot of the people I've seen in churches are older. But it's not completely that way. I mean, there are families there. There are young children. I've also spent time in two different cloisters in two different parts of Germany. I'm in a cloister right now in Necker, up in Necker. I'm sorry. I started at a cloister down in Necklersum, and then now I'm up top in the northwestern part. But both cloisters have been around for, I don't know, this one started work in 1358. So it's been a Catholic cloister. It's been a Lutheran cloister post-Reformation. It became an evangelical cloister for a while. And now it's a cloister that's just open to whoever wants to come. So these are just quiet, beautiful places in pastoral scenes. The first one was in the hills. This one is in a very flat space. But it's quiet and ancient. It just gives you a sense of how incredibly old these lands are.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, I want to do that so much. Wouldn't it be great to walk through Europe and stay in one cloister after another? That'd be a good way to spend a summer.
It's a really different experience than going to Europe and staying in a bunch of hotels. You get a much more, I think, historical feel for it. It's a lot, you know, you don't have a lot of the services you're going to have in a hotel. I can tell you that.
I was telling
you earlier via text that there's no air conditioning here. Mm. I haven't seen air conditioning in Germany in any place I've been in. We've been in schools, we've been in churches, we've been in restaurants. There's no air conditioning anywhere, and today it was 96 degrees.
Oh, my goodness.
So it is hot. It is hot. So it's not like I'm sitting in luxury in the middle of, you know, some beautiful hotel space. But, you know, this is what I asked for when I came to Germany, and so I'm getting it.
Yes, excellent. Kathy Emmons with me. She's, of course, one half of the ride home and in Germany right now. 30 girls right now, Kathy, in the Pittsburgh Girls Choir. You guys are doing good?
27 girls. They're doing a great job. It's very taxing. We've traveled. We obviously flew over here, and we've traveled about 600 miles in a bus all over different parts of Germany. And tomorrow we end up in Amsterdam. Tomorrow we're at Anne Frank's house, which will be wonderful. And the girls will sing the Anne Frank pieces there in honor of her 90th birthday that happened a couple weeks ago. And then the next day I'm at Corrie Ten Boom's house, John. The author of The Hiding Place.
Oh, fabulous.
So,
okay.
That'll be really outstanding.
And then I look forward to this. So as the week goes on here, it's Tuesday, so maybe Thursday or Friday or so we can connect again. I'd like to hear more stories about the Anne Frank house and the Corrie Ten Boom house.
Sounds great. And how about on our Facebook page, John? And I'll tweet them out, too. I'll send some photographs of these beautiful Baroque churches that we've been in, just to give you a flavor of what it's like in this part of Germany.
Very nice. Okay. So you're working even when you're away. I appreciate that, Kat.
You know what you have to do, John. I'm happy to do this.
That's good. Okay. Safe travels, my friend. Kathy Emmons making her way through Germany with the Pittsburgh Girls Choir. Be sure to check out her photos on our Facebook page, The Ride Home with John and Kathy.
WORD.
You're listening now, so we know you're a fan of the radio station.
I am a big fan.
And we want you to know that we appreciate you.
I am your number one fan.
fan.
That's why we've developed the Word FM Fan Club. It's free to join, and once you do, you can take part in exclusive surveys and contests.
Yeah, I love contests.
Special offers.
Great giveaways.
Discounts. Freebies.
I'd like to win one of these contests.
Become a member today. Go to wordfm.com/fanclub and sign up.
We're big fans.
Recent storms have done a number on Pittsburgh's homes and businesses. If you've had damage to your roof, windows, siding, or gutters and downspouts, you may be eligible to get them replaced or repaired free of charge. All you have to do is visit windowsruspittsburgh.com for a free inspection from one of their highly trained appraisers. With over 50 years in home remodeling, Windows R Us is the area's premier exterior replacement company for roofs, siding, gutters and downspouts, doors, and of course, windows. If damage isn't your issue and you just want something new, you'll love their no-pressure approach, no hidden fees, and one of the fastest turnaround times in the industry. Why pay twice as much with other companies? Visit the area's premier exterior replacement company at WindowsRUsPittsburgh.com. Mention Word FM for an additional 10% off at WindowsRUsPittsburgh.com. That's WindowsRUsPittsburgh.com.
Somewhere today, at a Christian school near you, a teacher arrived at work, not because of a paycheck, but a calling, a divine privilege to invest their skills, their time, their academic training, their entire life, to equip young minds for success in this world and beyond. This is how love inspires learning. Visit PittsburghChristianSchools.net. Education for mind and soul. PittsburghChristianSchools.net.
At Extreme Car and Truck in Bridgeville, find extreme accessories for all your dirty jobs, like hauling landscape supplies. Protect your vehicle with spray-on bed liners, tonneau covers, WeatherTech floor liners, and more. Say goodbye to dirt and grime inside and out with extreme detailing. Plus, lift kits, electronics, and remote starters, always a favorite. Extreme Car and Truck in Bridgeville, for the extreme in all of us. At extremetruck.net.
When wet weather is on the way, keep it dry inside with J&D waterproofing. Water seepage and a sinking foundation can cause major structural damage if left untreated. Joe Belanti and the team at J&D Waterproofing have the experience to correct your water problem with over 72 years in the industry. Call the Tri-State's premier waterproofing company now at 1-800-VERY-DRY for a free estimate and big savings on all waterproofing services for a limited time. J&D Waterproofing, 1-800-VERY-DRY.
I'll never forget, many years ago, I invited a friend of mine who was new to the Christian faith over to a dinner party. And it was members of our small group, and you know, I don't know, 10 or 15 people or so got together and spent a few hours around the dinner table. It was a good night. And when it was all over, I was talking to my buddy the next day, and he was like, dude, I had no idea what you guys were talking about. Half the time I felt like you guys were speaking a foreign language. And I was like, what are you talking about? He goes, well, you know, you were using fruit of the Spirit and armor of God and, you know, all this stuff that I really had no idea what it was about. And I guess, you know, you're a believer long enough, you know, that Christianese, we just take it, you know, for granted as though it's just, you know, it's our language as believers. Well, Megan Hill's with us. She's a graduate of Grove City College, which we love. Megan is an editor for the Gospel Coalition, the author of Contentment, Seeing God's Goodness, and Praying Together, the Priority and Privilege of Prayer in Our Homes. A few years back, Megan wrote a piece about said, it's okay to talk like a Christian. And I guess in some ways, we don't have to apologize for this. Megan, welcome back to the show. Oops, I should didn't let you come in there, Megan. Hey, you're on the air right now. Sorry. Are you there?
Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Megan. That was me. It's a Tuesday. I'm still not up to snuff here. Okay, so yeah, Christianese. This is a weird thing, and I wonder if other people of other faiths, I guess they do, right? I'm going to answer my own question. No matter what faith you believe in or you practice, you've got your own language.
Yeah, I imagine that you would. I mean, if you have a book,
you know, that's where our language comes from, right? It comes from our book, the Bible, and that's the that's where our language is derived from. So I suppose any sort of sacred text would give you some kind of language.
Yeah. Okay, so in the piece, there's a podcast, a video podcast, Stuffed Christians Say. And in the Stuffed Christians Say, they kind of mocked gently our own lingo, yeah?
Right, yeah, and we've all heard it. And probably in the years since I've written this piece, it's some different language. I hear a lot recently of, like, pouring into and doing life with and being real is another one. I don't know which ones you've heard recently.
But. Yeah. I mean, that pouring into I hear an awful lot. And, you know, I'm sure for the people, I get it, right, when you're pouring into something, of course, yeah. So with that, in that story that I told about my friend who was, you know, a baby Christian who did not understand the lingo, oftentimes Christians are sort of derided for that language. But you're saying essentially it's okay because it's derivative from the book. We shouldn't apologize for the way we talk.
Yeah. I mean, I think some of it can be a little silly, like, you know, pour into. I don't know exactly where that comes from the Bible, but certainly things like you were saying from your dinner party, the fruit of the Spirit. Well, that's something that comes clearly from Scripture, and maybe it's an opportunity for your friend to go, huh, this fruit of the Spirit stuff, maybe I'd like to know a little more about that. I didn't understand that. Now I'm asking a question, right? So that was an opportunity, wasn't it?
Yeah. Okay, so when we talk, and of course, you know, the longer you're a believer, the more, you know, you're surrounded by other believers. I mean, my wife will use this phrase often, Lord willing. Well, you know, Lord willing, whenever this happens, but she's also sort of become self-conscious about it as well. So she doesn't have to feel self-conscious about that.
Yeah, well, she's got James 4 on her side, right? Because James says, if you, don't just say, I'm going to go and do such and such. Say, if the Lord wills. And I think that's a testimony, really, to people that she's holding her priorities under the lordship of God and saying, you know, I recognize that I'm not in charge of my own time, and God is, and he might have some other plans for me.
Yeah. So good. So then don't feel bad. It's just one less thing as believers we don't necessarily have to feel guilty about.
Amen.
Amen to that. Okay. Hey, let's switch gears for a second. You know, obviously, you know, as I brought you in, you've written a lot about prayer. You think about prayer a lot. A graduate of Grove City College, you know, Kath and I, we have kids at Grove City right now. Talk for a second about prayer and how you think about that, especially as a mom and as a wife, how prayer works in your life now. Certainly different than when you were a college student.
Yeah, right. When I was a college student, I had all the time in the world to pray. You think, isn't it funny? Every stage of your life, you think you're so busy. And I think it's true. You always, whatever stage you're at. I have parents who are retired, and they say, we were never busier than when we retired. So I'm waiting for that level of busy. But yeah, I mean, I think it does. I think certainly your prayer life changes as you age, as you learn more about the Lord, you grow in your knowledge of him and your delight in prayer. I think it never gets easy. I think it's always a hard discipline.
Yes.
But I do think the longer you live, the more you see the Lord working in prayer, and maybe the more encouraged you are to pray too.
Mm-hmm. So you use that word discipline, which, right, there is a steadiness to it. There is an adherence to something. Talk about your own prayer discipline. Are you yourself disciplined in that? Is it a regular feature of your daily life?
It is a regular feature of my daily life. I do. We, as a family, we pray in the morning, sort of just a minute or so before everybody scatters for the day. Then I pray personally in my private devotional time as I'm reading the Bible and praying. Then we pray again in the family, as a family, in the evening. After dinner, we have a little time of Bible reading and prayer together. But I mean, we also pray, you know, I pray before I eat. You know, I feel like I'm always saying, don't overlook that prayer that you pray before a meal. It's not meaningless. You know, you're really talking to God when you thank him for the food. So I think we have little opportunities to pray that sometimes we overlook too.
Yeah. Well, what about that? How old are your kids?
12, 11, 10, and 2.
Okay. So then the 12-year-old, especially the 12, 10, this is something that's part of their life as well. At some point, as you and your husband have been praying all these years, then your kids are going to pick up that mantle and own their prayer life. I mean, that's happened in our family, which I'm grateful for. I see that in my own kids' lives. You know, now they're older teens and early 20s. It gives me great comfort to know that, you know, we've passed the baton forward in some way.
Yeah, and I think prayer is such a great, when you're praying with your kids, like that's almost a chance for them to be in charge, you know, when they're leading in prayer then. And, you know, in our relationships with our kids, we don't always get a chance for them to lead us. But in prayer, we definitely do, which is really exciting.
Yeah. I wonder, do you ever consider, this is, you know, do you ever consider yourself prayer wasted? You know, we would gather with our small group and we'd go through this process. And you know, at the end, someone would say, yeah, that was such a waste of time for me. I really got nothing out of that. And I think, I don't know. When I gather together, especially in community, I think that, you know, all prayer essentially has good roots. So it's very rare that you would think it's wasted time.
Yeah. And I think sometimes we forget that, you know, the prayers of one generation might be answered in the next. You know, that people who are coming to faith now or missionaries that are being sent out now, you know, it may be that that's an answer to a prayer that was prayed hundreds of years ago, you know, and that we don't always see immediately 5 minutes later an answer to our prayers. But I do think it's a testimony of Scripture that it's not wasted. I think you're right, John.
I really like that a lot. Okay, that's great. So all prayer then, right? I mean, so you're talking about prayer 10, 50, 100, you know, 500 years down the road, somehow it has roots and power after the fact. I love the idea of that. Hey, so Megan, obviously you're a writer. You're in the throes right now, I think, of creating something new. How does that work for you, the idea of creation and prayer together as you go about your daily routine to create something new that will engage a readership at some point?
You know, the things that I write, I mean, I write basically about the Bible and its implications for the lives of Christians. So I think it's always born out of prayer. And as I'm reading Scripture and praying, I'm always asking for the Lord to give me insight into what His Word says and then help to explain it. And I think we have, you know, back to words again, right? We have a speaking God who uses words and who communicates to us in words. And so I always feel like these are good prayers to pray that God would give me the right words because He's a speaking God, and He loves to give words.
Yeah. So then I don't know where you are in your latest project, but as you sit down daily at your desk or wherever your writing space is, do you feel God speaking to you as you maybe get close to a deadline?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely feel His help and that He makes His word clear, you know, that the Spirit uses the word. And so when I sit down with a passage of Scripture and I think, oh, how am I going to explain this? And I'm praying for the help of the Spirit. And as I read it and it becomes clear to me, I do think that that's the Lord's help.
That's good. Hey, Meg, thanks an awful lot. I mean, it's always a pleasure. When does your book release? Any idea?
It'll come out in the spring of 2020. So I'm turning it in this week, and it'll be another 10 months till it comes out. But that's how it works in the publishing world.
Well, that's got to be a good feeling when you turn it in, isn't it?
It does.
Good for you. Hey, thanks for being with us, Megan. Always appreciate
thanks
it.
Thanks so much, John.
My pleasure.
All right.
Megan Hill, praying together, the priority and privilege of prayer in our homes, communities, and churches. Megan Hill, you can find her online.
In the good old summertime, in the good old summertime. It may sound a little corny, but it really is the good old summertime at the Springhouse in 84. The sun is shining, the cows are out on the pasture, the sweet corn is almost ready, the Springhouse produce tables are filled with freshly picked vegetables, and we're up to our elbows in ice cream. And you know what? That all makes the Springhouse a very fun place to be. Why not jump in the car right now for a country drive to 84? Come for homemade lunch or supper, or just to eat ice cream and enjoy sweet country air. Be sure to take home our famous chocolate milk and baked goods. Don't forget that. We're just 4 miles east of Washington on Route 136, and it doesn't take long to get to us. Call 228-3339 for more directions to the Springhouse in 84.
Providence Presbyterian Church, Washington Alliance Church, Bethlehem Lutheran Church, St. John the Baptist Church, Impact Christian Church, The Bible Chapel,
What do all these churches from various denominations have in common?
Nello Construction.
Design and build with one company.
Nello Construction.
Full service construction from the ground up.
Renovation. Expansion.
Nello Construction. The choice for churches.
See the projects.
Begin the journey
at NelloConstruction.com.
Right now, there are young people across the world facing a tough choice. Continue their dream of education or drop out to help their family put food on the table. You can help change their future in a single moment. See how far your support can go at unbound.org.
Dentistry, in my opinion, shouldn't be a fear-inducing experience. And it really, I think, goes a long way for patients when I'm able to develop that one-on-one relationship with them.
Exceptional dentistry meets compassionate care at StockFamilyDentistry.com.
I'll tell you, speaking of prayer, I don't know about you, but as I read the daily headlines, that is certainly an occasion for deep prayer. You know, this whole migrant children at the border debacle. I mean, holy smokes. I don't know what the truth is, right? And I'm not about the politics of it all. But when you think about these kids, whatever condition they may be in, separated from their parents, whatever, all those thousands of stories, hundreds of stories that they are, it's hard to read and to try to make sense of it, isn't it? I mean, how desperate people are that they would come here from this long journey and defy governmental authority and leave family behind to find some new life here. I don't know what the answer is. I truly don't. And I don't think you do as well. I mean, governmental policies and all that notwithstanding, all these people need prayer. I just can't imagine the difficulty, the circumstances of what's happening right now at the border. And, of course, you know, the news media is going to amplify this and turn it into some sort of debacle that is against the administration and yada, 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 blah, 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 blah. I don't care about that. I would ask you, as this continues, thousands and thousands of people stream forward, that wisdom would prevail and that peace would be with these people and safety as well, and that God covers them at every step of the way, that they do find a home that is free from oppression and fear and violence, and whatever role that the United States of America has in that, that God is with us as well as we try to sort it out. Peace be with you. Have a great night.
The Ride Home with John and Kathy, a production of Salem Media Group.
This is Albert. 3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.